Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The first phase of the largest timber offering in Tonga's national forest in decades is moving ahead. And the U.S. Forest Service is asking for public comment. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, critics and supporters alike still haven't seen the plan.
Crews are spending the warmer months on Prince of Wales Island surveying vast areas of national forest land for potential logging. It's part of the Forest Service's plan to offer at least 220 million board feet of Tongass old-growth timber over 15 years. Just don't call it a timber sale.
That would be an inaccurate depiction of the project.
That's Forest Service spokesman Paul Robbins, Jr. PAOLA stands for Prince of Wales Island Landscape Level Analysis.
The PAOLA is a comprehensive 15-year plan for all of Craig and Thorn Bay Ranger Districts, covering every single one of the programs that the Forest Service administers on public lands.
That includes stream restorations and culvert replacements. There's also improved recreation, like trail building and new public use cabins and shelters. Most of those projects aren't funded this year, but the Forest Service has funded the ongoing commercial timber surveys. It says it plans to offer 50 million board feet in the next year. How much of that's old growth, the Forest Service isn't saying, but logging could begin as early as this fall. Economic development in the Tongass is a key objective for the Forest Service, even as it officially transitions away from old growth logging. About half of Southeast Alaska's timber industry jobs are on Prince of Wales Island. John Bowling chaired the advisory committee that helped guide the project. He lives and works for the city of Craig.
The largest of the mills on the island is only 6 miles down the road here and has a substantial amount of local employment.
The group endorsed logging 220 million board feet over the next decade, but Bowling acknowledged some participants in the community have misgivings, guys like Bob Klaus.
People argue that we need to maintain this very small logging industry to maintain the economic viability of our communities, and I just flat out disagree.
Klaus is a retired Alaska State Trooper who's lived on the island for decades. He's frustrated because he says after several years of meetings, he still doesn't know where the Forest Service would allow logging. Robin says the Forest Service's landscape level analysis method is new for everybody.
Before, we would say, hey, these are the activities we're proposing to do. What do you think of them? And instead, now we're saying, what activities do you want to do? Okay, we're going to go do those.
Klaus says that's backwards.
This turns the whole process on its head. There is nothing specific. You know, how can I make a reasonable comment about what they're going to do when they don't have a plan as to what they're going to do or they're not going to present it to me?
The timber industry supports the project's goals, even if they haven't seen the details.
You know, when I talked to their timber sale staff, they said they had a project they were working on, a specific timber sale project with specific units.
It's these verbal assurances that Owen Graham of the Alaska Forest Association says he's relying on.
Forest Service already knows what we need is an economic timber supply that our mills can afford to harvest and make lumber out of it.
Decades of clear-cutting on the island has taken its toll on habitat. That's according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which outlined specific concerns for deer and wolf populations. The Forest Service's review acknowledges this. Buck Lindekugel is a staff attorney for Southeast Alaska Conservation Council.
We think Prince of Wales has just lost way too much habitat already.
He says the Forest Service's approach isn't fulfilling its basic obligations under the law.
This is exactly the type of environmental blind decision-making that Congress intended to end when it passed the National Environmental Policy Act 50 years ago. So it's not like these guys don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They're just not doing it.
The Forest Service is holding its last round of public workshops before it begins offering specific areas for logging. As for details of when and where that would occur, Forest Service spokesman Paul Robbins, Jr. says,
those decisions are going to be made after the comment period's done, based on the information we gather.
The comment period closes May 13th. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
A city committee tasked with investigating the shortage of affordable child care in Juneau has concluded its work. The Juneau Assembly Child Care Committee formed in November. Mayor Beth Weldon asked it to answer two key questions. Should child care be part of municipal activities? And if so, should early education be a part of that? After speaking with various stakeholders, the committee answered yes to both questions and submitted its final report with recommendations to the mayor last week. In the short term, the report advises the city to identify existing public facilities that could be used for childcare and to set up a loan fund to assist related businesses and programs. In the long term, The committee recommends funding a subsidized child care model like that proposed by Best Starts, a local initiative that almost ended up on the municipal ballot last October, but failed to receive enough assembly votes. The committee was made up of several assembly members and public representatives from the education and child care sectors. At a special assembly meeting last Wednesday, Mayor Weldon congratulated the committee on its work. Last fall, a handful of girls in Juneau became brand new scouts, but not Girl Scouts. They're the first girls in town to be officially welcomed into Cub Scouts, thanks to a decision by the national organization made last year. Since then, they've met both support and confrontation in the community. KTVO's Zoe Gruskin has more.
It's a Wednesday night, and a group or den of Cub Scouts is making bird feeders. Families are packed into a heated garage, hammering boards, drilling things together, and talking about birds they might see. Nights like this are exactly why Kelsey Powers, about to turn 11, wanted to join Cub Scouts.
I want to be more of an outdoorsy girl. And then I also like it because then you can, like, build things. You can go camping. And you practically can do anything.
Powers is one of the first girls in Juneau to be an official Cub Scout. The organization just started letting in girls last year. Her den leader, Emily Lockey, says girls have been a part of Scouts for years. They just weren't recognized. She knows because that was her story.
I grew up with three brothers and no sisters, and I got to watch from the sidelines as my brothers participated in this incredible organization. And as a teenager, I worked side by side with all my friends who were boys. I helped them with all of their Eagle projects. I worked at the scout camp with them because they allowed females to work out there. I just couldn't be a part of the program.
And as a parent, Lockey was watching that story repeat itself with her own daughters. So when she got the chance to start a girls' den in Juneau, she jumped. For the most part, she says, it's been going really well. Their den is small, just four scouts between second and fifth grade. They get together every week, just girls, to work on projects, and they join the larger co-ed pack once a month. Lockey says she loves scouts because it's well-rounded. Boys, and now girls, can earn awards for exploring everything from outdoor skills to robotics to spirituality. But it's been a challenge to recruit girls to the program, and Lockey says they've received some pushback.
There was definitely controversy in the beginning. We've done service in the community and attended events, and for the most part, we've received incredible amounts of support, but there definitely have been some comments from adults to the girls about how there shouldn't be girls in Scouts.
Powers has heard it from peers, too.
So at my school, like, I'll be talking to my friends about what I did at Scouts the night before, and then all the boys will be eavesdropping, and then all of a sudden they'll be like, it's called Boy Scouts for a reason, or then they're like, I think it's really stupid how girls are joining. Girls are overtaking Boy Scouts.
She says she ignores them, or responds simply, just telling them what she likes about being a Scout. Den leader Lockey says the resistance has actually been a learning opportunity. She and her scouts have spent a lot of time talking about how men and women are treated differently and why that might be, looking at it big picture. Last fall, when they got to meet with Juneau Mayor Beth Weldon and a couple legislators, they even drew a connection to the fight for women's right to vote 100 years ago.
We were able to tie that conversation into how they were making history and how there are laws that aren't always the right thing. And part of being a good citizen is to recognize laws that aren't the best for our country and our community and do what we can do to change those laws.
In her way, Kelsey Powers is making history too. This month, she became the first girl in Juneau to earn the Cub Scouts' highest honor, and she's old enough now to join Scouts BSA, formerly called Boy Scouts of America. But so far, she's the only one, and she needs at least four other girls to join so they can form a troop. Until then, she'll be a lone scout.
What would you tell girls who are thinking about maybe doing it?
That it's a lot of fun, and even if the boys don't want you to do it, you shouldn't listen to them.
Powers is hoping in a few years she'll be the first girl in Juneau to reach the highest rank of Scouts BSA and become an Eagle Scout. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
And finally,
on Travel Channel,
I'm Jack Osborne.
And I'm Katrina Wiseman.
And on our new show, we're investigating the darkest, most sinister places.
They're the gateways between dimensions.
What you can't see in this commercial is the cut to an aerial shot of downtown Juneau's Alaskan Hotel and Bar. It'll be featured in the new ghost hunting show Portals to Hell, and its premiere on Friday night on the Travel Channel. Joshua Adams is the son of the hotel's owner. He considers himself a sort of unofficial historian who grew up in the hotel. Says the television crew came in October to investigate.
They're just like ghost hunters. He brings a psychic along, you know, with his special equipment and a film crew.
Adam says they talked to him a lot about a body he says he discovered in a hot tub there in 1998. Adams thinks that the man that died haunts the hotel. He says ghost hunting interest in the hotel keeps picking up steam. He thinks it's becoming more of a permanent association and not a fad. This isn't the first time that the Alaskan was prominently featured in a reality TV show. In 2013, another Travel Channel show, Hotel Impossible, tried to make it over. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Jeremy Shea.